We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, Sirius XM Channel 80, smart speakers. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here. So maybe that's why the NBA has gone out of its way to say, don't call it a bubble. Maybe that's why. Call it a resort. Call it a campus-like atmosphere. Don't call it a bubble.
They just think they'll be stuck in the actual bubble butt music video in that high rise. So it'll be a difficult situation. So yeah, it'll be the campus butt.
Yeah. And some players are saying, you know what? Don't call me at all. You know, I don't want to go. You know, I look at this and all the teams that are going supposedly because they're going to play some regular season games have a chance to get in a position to make the playoffs. But there are some teams that I'm sure some players on some teams that think, I don't really have a shot to do this. So why am I going?
Because that was what got brought up when Damian Lillard came out. And a lot of people took his comments the wrong way, basically saying, if I don't have the opportunity to compete for a championship, why would I want to go back for now? We see amounts to something in the range of 8 games, whatever that was going to end up being. And it was done in mind. Then the 22 teams coming back all would have a shot in that at some point. But we know not all those are created equal. And as we've said, everyone's situation, the context everyone experienced this pandemic through, is going to create a different way that they look at this opportunity.
Right. So the players approved the owner's plan.
Right.
Overwhelmingly, Michelle Roberts, the executive director of the NBAPA, said, hey, my guys are ready to go. And then this is why the lawyers always tell you to read the fine print. Right? Because the protocols are coming out, and apparently some NBA players, I believe the number Woj put it at was a couple dozen,
like 40 to 50.
A few dozen players basically have said, what do we have to do and what can't we do? And here was Woj on SportsCenter yesterday basically saying, hey, the idea of playing is what everybody wants, and then the reality of how they're going to have to do it sort of woke them up a little bit to what they're actually going to be facing.
A lot of players, there are family concerns. There are certainly concerns about COVID. There are concerns about a number of issues built around having to go inside that bubble. You know, many of them for 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 2.5, 3 months. You hear it more and more among the teams who know or certainly believe they're not really going there to compete to win a championship.
Remember, if there's the ninth team, if they're within 4 games of the 8th seed, they do a play-in to get that last 8th seed. And there's a number of teams in the West that could potentially put themselves in that situation. But then there's making the playoffs and feeling like you have a real shot. And remember, you couldn't see your family, significant other, or family till after the first round, which would be about 7 weeks in. So there are those that are saying, why I'm going to waste my time here and be away from my family for 7 weeks, or the concerns if we get that far and the family do have to come in. So there are some players, and we don't know really which ones yet.
Right.
Are any of them significant players on team? I doubt they're significant players on teams that are, you know, some of the top spots here. We're all kind of imagining that it's the teams in the lower tiers here.
Well, like we talked about with like the Spurs, once you have LaMarcus Aldridge having surgery, they're gone. Like if you were a team like that where something popped up over the course of the offseason and you knew, all right, I would be without one of my best players, that's kind of a tough spot to really feel like going forward, because these guys are all smart. As much as we all go into every season with hope, there's a difference, I think, when you're also as far along as they've been in this.
So you basically, really quickly on them, you basically would be going there for 8 regular season games of pay.
Correct.
Because you're probably not getting where you want to be, even in the playoffs, without LaMarcus Aldridge. So is it worth your time to go through what you need to go through for the 8 games, or eight games of pay, or enough pay for those games?
And again, it's very important to point this out, where we're with the NHL or the NBA, they're trying to finish. Major League Baseball is trying to start, and that is a significant difference here in all of this. And I think that's why a lot of this is factoring in with some of these players. Like, I've already gotten most of my money, I'm probably not going to be in the postseason, or if I am, I'm going to have our team's probably going to have a realistic shot at winning it all. So is it worth it? Right? Is it worth it?
Yeah, because I was trying to like put myself back in that mindset. And Dad, you'll appreciate this. Like, imagine at this point you go midway through a season. Like, my least favorite thing about two-a-days was having to go back out and warm up for that second practice.
Right.
You've already got all those miles on your body. You've already done that. Now you're going to go back out. It's hot in the afternoon. You're going to warm up again. These guys have gone through most of their season already and now face the prospect of having to go back into an environment that, like training camp, is super restrictive. You're there. You're batting down. But going into training camp, at the very least, you've got the hope of the season. You believe, all right, we've got all this in front of us, all that we're capable of doing, versus now a lot of these guys are going, all right, if I'm real with myself, knowing what we're going through now, we might go through that whole training camp-like environment, go through 8 games, be separated, be restricted in ways that are training camp plus, and then not have any of the payoff on the other side. And I got to worry about my family in a global pandemic. And some of them have talked about a lot of the things going on in this country as it relates to race and the protest and the things that we've seen right now. And so you lump all that in there and I go, well, yeah, no, that is a pretty daunting feeling, considering I sit there with knots in my stomach getting ready to go to training camp, and I'm hopeful for the season. Now you're doing and facing the prospect of doing that, being locked away like that, and then coming out of it with 8 games and nothing to show for it.
Look, you're exactly right. And it what the value of that is going to change to a lot of people. And I think one thing that the NBA is doing a really decent job about and all is that they're saying, look, you don't have to do this if you don't want to. But understand, as Roach points out, you don't have to, and there will be no punishment, but there will be no payout.
Right.
The union and the league, you know, have essentially agreed on a plan that if players don't want to go to Orlando, they will not have to go. They will not be punished by their teams. Now, they will also not get paid for those missed games. And if there's a player who has a medical question, perhaps is of high risk in that environment or of getting COVID and becoming ill, there'll be an independent medical process for the player to go through, and then he could possibly be excused from it. And even if he's told that he's fit to play, he can still stay home again and do so without getting paid.
Well, I mean, baseball has worked out that side. If you're a high risk, you will get paid.
Right.
And it will count toward.
But again, that's starting the season.
So yeah, Mike, I get exactly what you're saying. The build up, all the build up to come back to in the back of your mind, knowing ain't really got a shot at this thing, as opposed to the build up of a new season starting. So they may just be like, we've been off for so long. I'm going to do all this to go back for 8 games and then be back out of there again. Just really not worth it at this point. I'll be interested in how many guys actually pull the trigger on this one and say, I'm not going.
Yeah, I think when push comes to shove, too, more and more guys, as you talk about it and get closer, I'm sure something resembling that itch will come back to a lot of guys.
I agree with that.
But it's such a difficult thing to try and replicate. Like, I keep searching for ways to try and think about what this feeling has to be like of an interruption, because we've referenced so much strike-shortened seasons, labor strife that's created these shortened seasons that are kind of similar. But there's nothing like a disruption in the middle. Like, this is like the macro version of when we played USF in 2010 or 2011 and had a 2.5 hour lightning delay in the middle of the game. What you do mentally in that time period is going to go a long way towards the outcome. These guys have gotten into when their usual offseason is, would be, you know, close to this point for a lot of guys in the summer, and have to try and snap back out of that and remind themselves it's time to go out and play like the season never stopped.
Right. So let's be clear about this. Do we think anybody that's in the top 4 seeds of either conference at this point has players? Look, if they're outlying family conditions,
if there's
healthy,
a high medical risk,
that's a separate.
We're not
issue.
Talking about.
We're not talking
way.
About those players.
No,
anybody.
I don't think so.
I don't think there's anybody on the top 4 seeds on any of these conferences. And maybe Woj will tell us different. But to me, it seems like these are the guys. Maybe we have a chance. Maybe we don't. Anybody that really thinks they got a chance to chase for the championship, I think those guys are going to be all in. Right?
I do as well, because you're going to be playing a number of games. Obviously, the regular season games, and you're already in the playoffs. You're going to be playing playoff games. So I definitely think you're getting a different thought process there.
All right, so we'll see what happens again as this story continues to unfold, as the protocols for what the NBA players are going to have to go through are coming out and the players are digesting it. Coming up next, two quarterbacks who led their teams to the Super Bowl are unsigned for totally different reasons. And what does a former player think about how the NFL is responding and reacting to what we've seen play out across the country in terms of civil and social unrest about what's happened to people of color in this country?
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, to get you caught up on a little bit of what is trending. The Detroit Tigers selected Arizona State Spencer Torkelson, Torque, with the number one pick in Major League Baseball's draft on
Torky.
Wednesday. Torkelson led Division I with 25 home runs as a freshman in 2018 and followed that up with 23 as a sophomore and was off to a great start in 2020. Hitting a .340, .598, .780 split with 6 home runs in 17 games before the season was stopped due to the coronavirus pandemic. He played first base at ASU, but the Tigers announced him as a third baseman where they intend to play him. This year's draft was shortened from 3 days with 40 round to 2 days with 5, and the next 4 are slated for Friday. Meanwhile, U.S. Soccer has repealed its policy requiring players to stand for the national anthem. The policy was created in 2017 after Megan Rapinoe kneeled in support of Colin Kaepernick. But at the urging of President Cindy Parlow Cohn, the U.S. Soccer Federation met via conference call on Tuesday to discuss that policy. And rather than waiting until its next meeting on Friday, decided to vote on a repeal effective immediately. Quote, "It's become clear that this policy was wrong and detracted from the important message of Black Lives Matter," U.S. Soccer said in a statement. And out of the NFL and the NFLPA are discussing the possibility of shortening the 2020 preseason, according to the NFL Network. Multiple executives informed of talks believe that the upcoming preseason could consist of just 2 games instead of 4. As a result of the coronavirus pandemic, the upcoming training camp will be altered in more ways than one. Last week, remember, the NFL sent a memo to its clubs telling teams that they could only hold camps at their practice facilities in order to, quote, mitigate exposure risks. That's what's trending, brought to you by Redbox. Redbox has top entertainment when you need it most. If you're in the mood for a thriller, don't miss The Invisible Man, starring Elizabeth Moss. Make it a movie night and visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
Golden Wingo here with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. That's interesting, the whole idea about the shortened preseason, because that's something that's been on the table a lot, and how they're going to happen when we have the 17 games
scheduled, not this year, but next year.
But a large part of that was being, well, you know, instead of those 2 preseason games, a lot of live joint practices. Well, that's not going to happen this year for sure. So, I mean, the run up to the NFL season, again, they are them in college football and NFL more than college, because those athletes are already back on campus right now in some places and at their universities. They are going to have the longest runway and the longest sort of case study to figure this all out. But how you're going to get ready, because at the end of the day, somebody's going to have to hit somebody and you're going to have to lean on somebody, and they're going to have to figure that part
out. Yeah, they're going to have to. They'll get to that, but they got to get there first. And right now, it also, the memo from the league to the teams is camps going to all start together July 28th. You always get that camp schedule, you know, right about now, where all the different camps start at the different times. The teams that play the first game will be able to start 3 days earlier than that. But for the most part, the other 30 teams all will start on the 28th. Trey, as you mentioned, no inner squad practices. This again, listen, it hurts everybody, but it really hurts the lower the lower part of this roster, the guys that aren't going to get that chance.
The back 25%.
If you go to two preseason games, less opportunities for guys to kind of show their wares. Veterans, I'm sure at the end of the day, will be happier the less hitting that's going to be going on.
Yeah. I remember this back in 2011 when the lockout was going on then. I had a lot of friends from the team I played on at Notre Dame that were undrafted guys going into that season that knew without the offseason, with the disruption in the schedule, it was going to really put a premium on the few reps that they were already going to be getting limited numbers of when it came to training camp. So it definitely changes that mentality for a lot of guys who already, a lot of the small school guys that we talked about, because of the process in the spring, were going to be at a disadvantage.
So for more on all of that and everything else, and how the NFL has reacted to the social unrest in this country, delighted to talk to our next guest, the big man Damian Woody, who joins us now, who, by the way, talk about playing it right. I don't know if anybody as an interior lineman figured out the market better than our guy Damian, who hit that thing three times. So kudos to you, sir, on that level more than anything else. But before we get into what's really dominated the sports conversation in terms of how everybody has reacted to the killing of George Floyd, where are you on this idea? Okay, only two preseason games and no live practices with other teams to get ready to play a 16-game season.
Well, listen, you know, it's interesting to see how training camp is going to fall. Like, are there going to be more practices? Are there going to be the same amount of practices? Only two preseason games. It's going to hurt the guys on the back end of the roster. You know, the guys who are primarily fighting for those special team jobs, because, you know, as Mike Senior and Mike Junior knows, when you know, a lot of times these coaches say the best way to make a roster is on a special team. So those are the guys that's going to be affected the most, because a lot of the times, these organizations, they know 95% of them. They know who's going to be on their roster 95% of the time. So it's just going to hurt the younger guys who are trying to make it.
Damian, I saw Richard Sherman make comments about this the other day, and I'm curious for you, especially as you got up in your career as a veteran player, what did you really feel like you needed out of preseason in order to feel ready to go and ready to play actual football?
I didn't need a game. My biggest thing was just make sure I'm in good condition. I just wanted to get to week one, to be honest with you. I always felt like practice was more important than the preseason game. Yes, it was good to kind of hit people in another jersey, but my whole goal was to get to week one. So I always said, to hell with preseason. I just want to get to week one, because that's when the games really, really matter to me.
How much of a fear do you have when players are doing all virtual workout on their own, something they're not used to doing, they're used to all being together, and the first time they all see each other may be training camp, of those nagging injuries that may hit earlier than normal?
That's the thing I'm concerned about the most, Golic, is those, you know, guys pulling hamstrings, because, listen, quite honestly, not everybody are pros. You know, not everybody is training like they're supposed to be. And then you're talking about, okay, we're going to see you at training camp. Man, there's going to be a lot of guys that's going to come there, probably a little out of shape. That's going to be their first exposure to really hitting the ground running. And, you know, so I think there's going to be a lot of those pulled hamstrings, nagging injuries right out of the gate, because this is unlike anything we've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, Damian Woody with us. So that's the landscape going forward with what the NFL will be dealing with when they get back on the field and get back on training camp. But like everything else in society right now, Damian, the NFL is dealing with how they have responded and how they should respond and how they will respond going forward to the upcrying from so many people in this country that say, hey, listen to us when we tell you our experiences are different, and you need to not only appreciate it but validate it, because it's real. What has been your reaction to how the NFL has responded to so many things, and finally being forced to acknowledge things that we've all known for a long time, that there have been roads much more difficult for people of color in this country?
Well, Trey, I got to say, the first thing is I think the players are finally understanding the power that they have, because when I saw the video that came out that Michael Thomas had orchestrated along with the employee within the National Football League. When I saw Patrick Mahomes in that video, I'm like, uh-oh, that's going to be a game changer. To get basically a quarterback in the face of the league in that video, you know everyone on Park Avenue started scrambling. And that's exactly what happened with Roger Goodell. And I thought that his video statement was a nice start, albeit that, you know, he excluded Colin Kaepernick's name out of the out of the video. But more importantly, man, it's got to be followed with action. What type of actionable items are going to come out of this as far as it relates to the National Football League? And for me, I want to hear from the owners. Roger Goodell is one thing, but we know the owners pay Roger Goodell. So I want to hear from the real power people within the National Football League, the 32 owners, because those are the people, if you really want to be partners with your players, those are the people who are really going to exact change in the National Football League. And to be quite honest with you, I'm a little disappointed because I haven't heard anything from the owners in the National Football League.
Shad Khan's been the only one.
But yeah. Damian, that's a great point because we always think of, and I saw Richard Sherman had some pointed comments about Jerry Jones yesterday and what his silence means in all this. But are you surprised? I mean, an organization that you played for in the Patriots that we haven't heard from Robert Kraft, that we haven't heard from any of the Rooneys, the Maras, the families that we generally tend to think of as some of the progressive ownership groups in the NFL.
I am a little surprised. I'm a little disappointed because I get the sense that, you know, maybe, you know, they're trying to wait till this quote unquote blows over. I don't know if they're reading the room, but I don't think this is going to blow over. I think this is unlike anything we've seen. And you know, I know in my lifetime, this is unlike anything that I've ever seen. So, you know, these NFL owners need to wake up. This is not going to blow over. It's not going to go away. And I don't think that the NFL players are going to back down. They're going to keep marching and pushing forward with their message. So what are the NFL owners going to do? We're waiting.
Damian Woody with us this morning. So, Damian, it's one thing to say I want to hear from owners, but as we know, in every group, in every sport, there's a power structure. And there are some owners who, when they say something, it will be more significant than other owners who would say anything. So who are the people you really want to hear from?
I want to hear from the usual I want to hear from the usual suspects. You know, Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones, there's not a press conference that Jerry Jones didn't love. You know, after every game, you see him huddled up outside the locker room with all the press and he's just eating it up. And he's been quiet as a church mouse right now, which is unlike Jerry Jones at all. So I want to hear from Jerry Jones. I want to hear from, you know, Mr. Kraft. Mr. Kraft is a guy who's been involved with a bunch of issues. And I know, you know, where his heart is. And so it would, like, to me, for him to be, you know, to step out in front would be huge as far as this issue is concerned. You know, Mike Jr., Golic Jr. named a couple guys that, you know, the Rooney family. The Rooney family has always been, to me, one of the probably the most progressive owners in the National Football League. So hearing from them, I just want to hear from these guys because, again, we talk about the power structure. These guys hold all the cards as it relates to the NFL. And we just want to know what are the actionable items that they want to move forward with.
Well, that's it. There's hearing from them, then there's actionable items. We saw NASCAR with an actionable item going on, removing the Confederate flags from all their venues. What actionable item would you like to see, whether it's between the Players Coalition and the league or whatever, going forward? What would be, if you were still playing and you were part of the Players Coalition, what would be one of the first things you would say, okay, we need to sit with the owners and try and do this?
Well, I think it has to be a two-pronged attack. I think, you know, obviously community-based items, because to me that's where it starts. It starts where where you're located, trying to affect change within the community. So, you know, whether it be partnering up with different, you know, businesses and trying to do things in that nature, but on a bigger scale as far as nationally, just trying to change some of these laws, man. You know, that's really been one of the big items that a lot of people have talked about. Some of these laws that prevent, you know, law enforcement from being held accountable. So just to see the owners being at the forefront, being partners with the players in that battle, that would be huge because, guys, we all know that the NFL is one of the biggest entities in the United States of America. So if they step out in front, that would just be huge as far as the cause is concerned.
No, it's absolutely right, Damian. We appreciate the time and the help and perspective this morning, man. It's great stuff as always, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. You guys take care.
Thanks, Damian.
I just wanted to follow up because one of the things Damian mentioned there was trying to enact some change in that regard. The Players Coalition's gathered 1,400 signatures in support of a bill that would end qualified immunity for police, basically making it hard, which makes it difficult to sue police officers for brutality. Some of the names on that list: Dak Prescott, Myles Garrett, Alex Bregman, CeCe Sabathia, Carson Wentz, Drew Brees, and Tom Brady, who has had an offseason where he has quietly been in support of a number of these issues. And I know Bomani Jones came on with us and said that probably didn't get enough attention. Now consistently in there, Drew Brees and the owners speaking up, who all, by the way, some of the ones we mentioned, have very good track records in this area. When you talk about the Rooneys, when you talk about what Robert Kraft has done. But we've seen the power of Drew Brees speaking up and the different rooms that you have access to at that level, and why that voice and speaking up, even though you've done things in the past that help, can still be really valuable in its own right.
Absolutely. Lots more on that throughout the morning. But coming up, NASCAR is shifting gears on a very important issue. We will talk to someone who might have a thing or two to say about that after the SportsCenter update.
NBA getting ready to get started again, but 40 to 50 players are more hesitant about the league's July 31st return, sources tell our Adrian Wojnarowski. The NBA and the Players Association are agreeing on a plan that allows players like these to stay home without consequences, but also without pay. Last night was baseball's draft, the first round anyway. Still have three more to go. Headlined by the Detroit Tigers taking Arizona State slugger Spencer Torkelson, played first base at Arizona State. Looks like the Detroit wants to play him at third. Torkelson hit 25 home runs his freshman year, setting a record there. He had 54 home runs in 127 career games, too shy of the school's all-time record. On this day, June 11th, we had a first in 2012 here on this date. The Los Angeles Kings won their first NHL championship, beating the Devils 6-1 in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final to become the first eight-seeded playoff team to win the Stanley Cup.
That is SportsCenter brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless doesn't play games. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, for just $45 a month, saving up to 25% against big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Golic and Wingo with you. It has been a stunning, swift call to action by NASCAR, led by Bubba Wallace, the lone black driver on the NASCAR circuit, and they have responded to what he asked for. For more on this and more on what his partner had to say about all of this, we're delighted to be joined now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by our own Marty Party. Marty Smith, who does so many things for us on the Marty and McGee podcast. Marty, thanks for being with us this morning. We'll get to you what your partner did in his incredibly poignant and passionate column on ESPN in a minute. But first, were you at all surprised at how quickly NASCAR responded to what Bubba had said was just let's get rid of that flag?
Surprisingly, no, I was not surprised at how quickly. If you would have told me 1 year ago that this would happen, I probably would have been. But it's a new time, and it is time, and it's been time, and it's overtime for this decision at the top of the sport. And, you know, I heard Ryan saying there on the rejoin commentary about he doesn't know if it would have happened if Bubba wasn't so adamant and so passionate. I think the answer is it absolutely would have. But I also believe that the respect and vulnerability that Bubba has earned and shown to his peers, all of whom are white, all the other drivers, has, because of that, they all immediately joined in. And that was led by Jimmy Johnson, who's won seven championships at the highest level and was extremely disgusted by what he saw when George Floyd was killed and Ahmaud Arbery was killed and Breonna Taylor was killed. And he made the personal decision that, damn it, I have a voice and I have a platform and I have a friend in Bubba Wallace who needs me. And that's what happened last Sunday. What happened last Sunday at Atlanta Motor Speedway was one of the most remarkable things I've seen in my time as a sports journalist, because I've spent 18 years in the NASCAR garage and I've seen how slowly they've made their way to this point. And, you know, there's a lot of feedback at this point. And Trey and Mike, this might be one of the questions that you had, and forgive me if I'm jumping ahead, but there's going to be a lot of people who are longtime fans of the sport who have taken the Confederate flag to the NASCAR infield and flown it over their motor homes, and they might be pissed off and they might be frustrated and feel like they're being left behind. And my message to those people is very simple. My message to those folks is NASCAR's not closing a door on you. NASCAR is opening the door to everyone, because that is a symbol. And if you go back to 2015, Brian France was the president of the sport at the time. And following the Charleston church shooting, he publicly stated that he would like to see the Confederate flag disappear from the NASCAR landscape because it was an insensitive symbol to many. And at that point, Dale Earnhardt Jr., who was and is the definitive voice in NASCAR racing, said, that is an offensive, it's offensive to an entire race, and it belongs in the history books. And guys, that was 5 years ago. It was June 27th of 15. Today's the 12th, right? Or 11th of June?
11th.
2020. So that's kind of the evolution timeline. And at the top of NASCAR, there's been a change. Steve Phelps is now the president. And they decided that it was time. Reaction be damned, it was time to include everyone. And Bubba has led this charge, and he's carried so much on his shoulders over the last couple of weeks. And the world has taken notice.
Certainly has, as Marty Smith is with us again, co-host of Marty and McGee, joining us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can also check out Marty Smith's America, the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And Marty, I guess to that end, you mentioned that gap in time between what you talked about in 2015 to now. How has this been talked about in the interim? Is this something that gets discussed much amongst drivers? Because it seems to be almost
no.
That fan reaction they're trying to gauge versus what the drivers have kind of risen up and said is not acceptable anymore.
Until this national public push for social justice and for racial equality in the aftermath of George Floyd's death, it demands of all of us that we become introspective and look at our own operating procedures. Are we being kind to one another? Are we being empathetic to one another? Despite the fact that no white man can see the world through a black man's lens, it is incumbent upon us that we try, and that we try to educate ourselves through literature and conversations with our black brothers and sisters. And that's what happened in the NASCAR garage, Junior. That's what happened. There's a driver text string that they talk about. It is a private text string where the competitors discuss whether it's rules changes, whether it's drivers who are angry at each other for something that happened on the racetrack. They discuss these things in a private forum, and this has been the overwhelming topic of conversation in the last couple of weeks. And as Trey said off the top, Bubba Wallace is the only black driver in the sport. He's one of two that have won a race in NASCAR's top three national series. Wendell Scott in 1963 is the other. And Bubba took it upon himself to be adamant and forthright in telling those guys the world that he sees and being very vulnerable. This is nothing new for Bubba. He's battled depression, and he's been extremely open and vulnerable about that battle. And now he has tried and succeeded in opening his peers' eyes to that world that he sees. And they have listened. in those moments, you, and this goes for NASCAR with the flag, you have two choices. You can either listen and act, or you can ignore. And this is a, and I can't overstate what a historic moment this is for the sport, because this driving corps and this executive leadership listened and acted, and did so swiftly.
They certainly did. They
and it's just remarkable.
It absolutely is. And, Marty, we're up against the clock here, but I just wanted to say, please tell your partner, Ryan, that I really appreciated his column and the passion and the poignancy that he put pen to paper or keyboard to website, any way you want to put it. It was a remarkable read, and I, for one, found it exceptional. So thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks,
please,
Marty.
Please thank Ryan for us as well. Okay?
Thanks, brother.
I'll do it. Thank you, guys.
Golic and Wingo with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. Watch new Shower Sessions videos now at youtube.com/progressive. Coming up, one NASCAR truck driver says he's done with the sport. Is he going to be the last?
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Napa Know How.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping on over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $50 or more. Quality parts, delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
All right, guys, book it. You know the drill. You add book it to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the books.
You know what time it is. It's book it time, damn it.
Let's go.
Let's get this thing cracking.
Let's go.
Golic and Wingo is presented by Progressive Insurance. Commercial insurance through Progressive protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options at progressivecommercial.com. It is Golic and Wingo.
Is it?
It is Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., and Trey Wingo.
What's up, dude?
We're playing Book It because it's Thursday.
Should I have booked that you would wear a Maryland lacrosse shirt today?
You should book that I lost a bet during lacrosse season this year. So, Mara and everyone else with the Terps, you're welcome. Of course, one of the few games of 2020 I got to watch was Notre Dame, unfortunately, take the loss to Maryland. So, I'm paying off that bet. You can book that. You guys can book this other stuff. I'm going to give you a take. If you like it, you'll shout book it. We'll play a fun sounder and we'll keep moving. Spice
you
it
can
up
book
a
it.
Give it the old razzle dazzle. And if not,
okay, whippersnapper.
Razzle. You don't. We'll move it on. All right. Trey.
Yeah.
Ray Cicerelli won't be the last NASCAR-related driver to quit over the banning of the Confederate flag. Are you going to book that?
Well, this is interesting. I'm glad you put related because he's in the truck series. We think the best finish he's ever had was in 2019.
I think he had one top 10 finish. He's 50 years old.
Yeah, so I'm not sure this was a hobby for him or an actual driver.
He was a driver and owner of his. So,
I mean, okay.
I'm not booking it.
I'm not booking it.
No, sir.
Under the auspices of a legitimate big time NASCAR, not a periphery.
I don't even think another person like this is going to. I'm not booking it.
I find it hard to even believe at this point, based on what we've heard from a lot of the driver reaction to this, that this is representative of what else
not
we're going to see. So we'll move on from that one. No one booking that. Dad, there will unequivocally be baseball this year.
I'm going to book it. I do think that was actually one thing that
you can book it.
Stated in that March agreement is that the that baseball could dictate number of games if everything else fell through. So, and I think they will do that.
Baseball did one thing right. Yeah. Book that. We're going to get it. It's just how much turmoil is it behind it?
Exactly.
We'll play 12 full games. I'm going to book it for sure.
You can book it.
Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio. Play Book It along with us on our Instagram page, I think. Dad, Reggie Bush will get his Heisman back.
So who has to give it back?
I think it would be the Heisman Trust, wouldn't it?
Would have been not the NCAA, be the Heisman Trust.
Or I guess that would probably come from the NCAA.
Can the NCAA abscond someone's Heisman? I mean, are they the ones that can take it away?
Let's put it this way. It wasn't USC, so we checked them off the list.
I'm going to book it. No matter who has it, he gets back to it.
But I don't think if it's up to the NCAA, I don't think that they're unfortunately smart enough to make the right move here.
No, I can say I'm not going to book it either because this does fall into the same vein as vacating wins. And I don't think there's any conversation that even though the dissociation ended with USC because a rule stated so, like that was also something that gets lost in this. I don't know if this is out of the kindness of anyone's hearts as much as it was. There is a 10-year limit on disassociation that went along with this. So I am not going to book this one because they're not going to give USC those wins back.
I agree.
So I don't see them giving any sort of other acknowledgement of that season unless they are going to start giving wins back, and then you know who to call on that one.
Boy, you're not kidding. Have a win in 2012, do you?
Really rough one. That was really my, you know, that was kind of, that's all I got. Right,
that's all you got. That's all you got to hang your career on right now, right?
Oh my God. Sad reality is creeping in here on a fine Thursday morning. Trey.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods should be higher on ESPN's golf power rankings as play resumes here. You going to book it?
Let's see. He's 10th behind the likes of Xander Schauffele, Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed. Yeah, he should be higher. I mean, like right now, look, we've seen him play, unlike so many golfers. We saw him at the matches. Swing looked great. So, yeah, I'm going to book it. Put him up there, top five.
The top five, by the way, Rory McIlroy.
Book it.
Top five, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, and Dustin Johnson. You're going to bump him into there for one of those guys.
Well, he's won a major in 2019, and John Rahm has yet to win a major.
So I would say, is he the one you're taking out?
Boom.
Boom.
I have no idea.
Just book it.
Whatever.
Book it.
All right, I'll book it.
There it is. You're a golf guy now. Book this thing. You are full golf guy now, and you know
it. Book it with clear lack of knowledge on this.
Book it, man.
That's the entire show.
Get Rahm out of there. Brooks Koepka's got a mustache now, so he's not going anywhere. Did you guys see that thing the other day?
I did not.
He's got a hell of a lip sweater on him at this point.
Koepka does?
Oh, yeah. Koepka's got that going on. Shout out to our guy, Bryson DeChambeau, getting his weight up in all this.
Cool,
put on like 25 pounds.
Cool for you, like using the lip sweater thing.
Listen, man. I'm out here. I got golf scoops for you guys anytime you want. Dad, Todd Gurley is going to rush for at least 1,000 yards this season.
So if he played in every game, you have to average, I think, 62 yards a game. I think gets you 1,000 yards. Listen, I think he's in that kind of prove it mode. I think he'll get some opportunity down there to do that as well. So I'm going to say, yeah, I'll book it. He'll get 1,000 yards.
You know, I don't know how much you're going to use him. So I'm not going to book that, but I'm going to book he's going to get red zone touchdowns because that's what they signed him for, to get in the end zone when they got inside the five or 10-yard line. They were woeful at that the last couple of seasons. I'm not booking 1,000 yards. I'm booking him as a red zone threat.
Definitely not booking 1,000 yards, booking him as a dual threat. We remember he was one of those running backs there. The Rams, in his best form, were using him to push vertically down the field in the passing game at certain times. That's the best version of that for this offense.
Yep.
Last one for you, Trey.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones. One of them's making the Pro Bowl this season. You're going to book it.
I'm going to book it, and it's going to be Darnold.
Can I call this? We did this in either, neither, both.
No.
We did the same question in either, neither, both.
But in that one, you had to pick either, neither, or both. In this one, you only have to book it. There's a difference.
No, I'm not booking it.
You're not going to book either one of them.
I took neither. I took neither.
But you had time to think about it.
I thought about it, and I'm not booking it.
Man, why won't you jump on Sammy Diamond?
Why won't you get an original question?
Well, he won't have mono this year, so we got that going for
exactly.
us.
Exactly. Good point.
Coming up next, U.S. Soccer has listened to its women's national team on a very polarizing issue. What'll it mean for the men's team? We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, and ESPN2.